The big whitewater wag growled away from the shore at moderate speed, so as not to tumble the somewhat dazed survivors around the deck. Nobody expected any of Don Hector's people to get in the line of fire of the Browning heavy machine gun. Not any of Hector's people did. A lone figure came pelting down the slope, dark hair flying wild and free, torn and soiled white robe hanging off one shoulder.
Come back! It was not my doing! My underlings betrayed me! They acted against orders! Please, please, Don Tenorio, believe me!
He tore off the robe, threw it aside. Wearing only a loincloth, he fell to his knees in the dirt and began to weep and tear his hair.
That's enough out of you.
Ryan cinched the shooting sling of his Steyr around his left forearm, raised the cool steel butt plate to its home in the hollow of his shoulder, bent his eye to the scope, brought the crosshairs together on the middle of that muscular, hairless chest. The SSG barrel was yanked skyward as the shot cracked off. Ryan looked around, his lone eye the color and temperature of an Arctic winter sky, and no more friendly. Don Tenorio's small, soft hand was still clamped on the barrel.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
No, my friend. That's not the way.
He was ready to chill you in cold blood, the coldest. Don't you have the sand to let me do what's crying to be done?
Don Tenorio put both hands on the younger man's broad shoulders. He had to reach way up to do it. At the contact, Jack growled low in his throat and started forward. Christy lifted a hand. The albino boy stepped back, but his ruby eyes still smoldered. Five-Ax had reflexively brought up his MP5. Now he let the fat barrel fall offline and turned away, looking shamefaced.
Ryan, mijo, listen to me. I don't care about that door. If his life was mine to take now, I'd snuff him out, be he awake or asleep, in blood, hot or cold. He's earned far more deaths than you or I could ever give him. But my people aren't strong enough to rout the Chichimecs by ourselves. And Hector's people won't follow me any more than mine will follow him. We need him.
Well, maybe you do have what it takes to be a Baron after all. But you sure picked a fine nuke blasted time to show it.
He turned and stalked forward. The armory was lit by electric lights away up near the ceiling of the vault. Not bright, but steady. The companions looked around in surprise as Don Tenorio ushered them in.
We have scavenged generators, which we have modified to burn the alcohol we distill.
You don't use them at your residence.
Except for the radio room, it's not necessary. Here we find it useful to be able to see it to work. The ventilation system is helpful as well.
They were in the basement level of a building fronting on the plaza of the Step Pyramid. The structure hadn't been submerged at the base, although its upper two-thirds had been sheared off and fallen into the next street over, obstructing it. The armory level had been sealed and waterproofed so that no dampness had seeped in. Jack gazed around at the racks of rifles, mostly Garands and FNFALs, with a few racks of BARs thrown in.
Sweet.
This building was a headquarters of a special operational branch of the Federal Judicial Police. Apparently, they were created to cooperate with the American government in prosecuting the war on drugs.
I was wondering where all the weaponry your people in Hector's tote was coming from. When I visited here, I was told in no uncertain terms that private firearms ownership was major illegal.
And such proscriptions worked about as well here as elsewhere, as well as the war on drugs for that matter. You'd be surprised what we found in private dwellings. Nevertheless, as you surmise, our heavier armament comes from military and paramilitary police arsenals, such as this one. They tended to be very well built and sealed. We've successfully salvaged several that were altogether submerged.
Nasty work.
Dangerous and difficult, but highly profitable. Don Hector pays handsomely for the weapons and munitions we provide him.
You sold him those wrist-mounted lasers. His people never found them.
Yes, we did. And I have often wished we had not. Did he tell you otherwise? I suppose that shouldn't surprise me.
Why'd you sell blasters like that to a crazy man like Hector?
We didn't realize fully what they were.
How's that possible?
Come with me. I shall explain.
The Baron led them to a stairway down, where he once again switched on the heavy flashlight he carried, powered by a scavenged D-cell battery. Through muted echoes and weirdly shifting shadows, they descended.
While the computer equipment in this facility was functional when we found it, the disk contained no data. We surmise that this joint facility was used in part to conduct off-budget research on behalf of some agency of the United States government. Possibly the famous Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Possibly the DEA. Possibly someone altogether different.
Ryan glanced back at Doc, whose eyebrows were raised in comical surprise. The 19th century professor had intimate experience with a super-secret and off-budget U.S. government research project, the Totality Concept and its Operation Kronos, which had snatched him from his own time and hurled him 100 years forward to the end of the 20th century. They descended into another cool, musty chamber. Tenorio switched on the overhead lights at the entry and clicked off his flashlight.
Dark night. This is a real treasure trove.
I see you appreciate the equipment here.
The armorer all but stumbled forward, half dazed, like a latter-day wine fancier who had stumbled into one of the fabled lost cellars of Kali.
Bridgeport? Clausen lathe? Looky here, an old Monarch toolmaker's lathe. I mean, it was old when they laid this place down. A real jewel. And this?
He paused by a box-shaped object the size of a small wag, ran his hands over its red and white exterior.
This here's some kind of multiple-axis CNC machine. A living steel mill.
He removed his hands from it, as reluctantly as he might have from a lover's skin.
I'd have no clue how to work this baby, even if it still runs. This is stuff out of legend.
Mildred moved to his side, put her arm around his waist. He took off his spectacles and polished them reverently.
You are knowledgeable indeed, Senor Dix. Even though the machines are functional...
He walked to the Monarch, a relatively small machine, gray enameled and with smooth, almost melted-looking contours, switched it on, and engaged the clutch.
None of us possesses any but the most rudimentary skills at machining. There are devices here more advanced even than the tabletop CNC mill that has so impressed your armorer. Machines whose functions we can but dimly guess, if at all. It is down here that we found stored a dozen peculiar objects, like bulky plastic armlets. In those days, we were quite naive, more enthusiastic than wise. This structure was among the first we explored extensively, since it was one of the very few not flooded. We were excited by the rich trove of weapons stored above. Those, at least, we understood. Perhaps I need not tell you that by disposition and education, we were traders and explorers, not fighters. We have some skill with weapons now, and knowledge of them. It was gained, as you might imagine, by sheer brutal experience. In the end, we happened to mention our find to Don Hector, then a young village alcalde himself, a man obviously on the rise, with intellect and vision. He made us an offer for the mysterious objects. Because we needed resources to expand our toehold in the city, we accepted.
And he figured out what they were?
One of the cases had a manual in it. Can you believe how naive we were?
Every weapon has a manual.
How's that, Millie?
Nothing. Just a quote from an old movie.
We also discovered a number of energy cells subsequently. We sold them to Hector. What could we do? They only feed the laser weapons. And Hector was our friend then, already helping to protect us from raiders. It was a mutually beneficial relationship, one which we thought would endure.
What happened, Don Tenorio?
Power.
Of course, your young friend is right, Senorita. From what began as a defensive alliance of independent settlements in the valley, he saw he could begin to weld himself an empire of sorts. And also...
And also what, Don Tenorio?
Perhaps it's nothing. But he also began to be first interested, then obsessed with the traditions of the valley. The ancient traditions, from the days before the Spanish arrived, of human sacrifices to monster gods. It has always seemed to me that the change in his character dated from the time he began to delve into them.
I can believe it. There's much dark power in that one.
There is power and there is darkness, surely. More than that, I cannot say. But come.
He led them through the large chamber, which was crowded by mechanisms mostly unfamiliar to Ryan. From the rapt but puzzled expression on JB's face, the one-eyed chiller could tell his friend didn't recognize them either.
We're gonna have to hog time to keep him from spending all his time down here. This is pure toyland to him.
Won't work. I'm an escape artist.
Have to get our host's permission first, JB.
You are all my honored guests for as long as you might choose to stay. This was so before you saved my poor life, not once, but twice. But I hope you will forgive me if I consider ways I might make use of your extraordinary skills and ingenuity to our mutual benefit. I would be happy to provide Senor Dix total access to this workshop, for instance, on such assistance as he might prefer, if he would be willing to share whatever knowledge he can glean about the purpose and workings of these mechanisms with us.
JB looked at Ryan, his eyes seeming to swim behind the round lenses of his glasses. He reminded Ryan of a kid who'd had a spotted puppy trail him home and was now beseeching his daddy. Can I keep it?
You're gonna have to keep him sedated to keep him away now.
See no reason to say no, for as long as we stay.
And I hope that he's a good long time. In particular, I wish to speak to Don Ryan concerning such matters this very evening. But now, I have something else I would like you to see. Our pet mystery.
At the far end of the high-tech wonderland of a workshop was a plain metal door, enameled olive drab. Aside from the relative absence of nicks and weather fading, it was absolutely as generic as a door could be. So why was Ryan suddenly licking his lips to moisten them and feeling a slight acceleration in his pulse? Tenorio threw open the door. This time a light came on by itself. Inside the door was a small vestibule, then a much larger, more imposing door. A very familiar sort of door. There was a big sign beside the second door. Peligro, it said in big red letters, and also danger. And below, in English and Spanish, was a warning. Tezcatlipoca Redoubt, secured facility. Authorized personnel only. Intruders will be killed without warning. Below it was a simple keypad, also very familiar.
We have not yet mastered the sequence to allow us entry. Someday, perhaps, even with your assistance, we shall learn what lies beyond this door.